1 Kings chapter 19, we'll pick up in verse 4. The Bible said, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die. And said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in the mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Molah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening, and we ask you now that you just help us for a little while. Lord, I pray as we get ready to preach that you'd touch and just anoint afresh. And Lord, that some folk would get some help tonight from this message. We just pray and ask that you'd move in hearts. And Lord, that maybe there's somebody here lost, that you'd save them. Maybe somebody that tonight is just in a place in life that it seems like they just need to come and draw close to you. I pray they'd do that tonight. Maybe they just need some help and some strength. And Lord, we want this message to do just that. Again, we ask you to save somebody. Help us now. Lord, we can't do this on our own. We'll tell you again how much we love you and thank you for what you've done for us at Calvary. Help us now for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You can be seated tonight. If we go back and we look at Elijah's life, we find that Elijah come on the scene over there somewhere around chapter 16, I believe it was, 16 or 17, that Elijah comes on the scene because of Israel's sin. You'll find out that he prays that it might not rain and that for a period of time. And we find that God sends him and that to live down by the brook Cherith. Listen, that brook's going to dry up. I can imagine in Elijah's mind that, Lord, what do you got me down here for? But God is watering him by that brook and feeding him by the ravens in the morning and in the evening. But once the brook dried up, God sent him up to Zarephath and that to live with a widow woman who was out there picking up sticks and was going to make her last cake for her son and for her, and they were going to eat it and die. Can you imagine the thought and the mind of that little widow woman as she was going to make her life's cake. And here came the man of God. Hey, I'm going to tell you, God knows when to show up. Amen. It may get to the very end, but friend, you tie a knot in the end of the rope and hold on, and I guarantee you he'll get there. Listen, while he stayed there with that widow woman, he said, "You go get me a glass of water, and you make my cake first." And he said, "Listen, that barrel of meal and that cruse of oil will not fail until rain comes upon the earth." And so they lived on that barrel of meal and cruse of oil many days. Listen, after that, this widow woman's son died, and Elijah goes over there and prays, and God restores life to him. We find in chapter 18 that Elijah meets with all the prophets of Baal up on Mount Carmel. Y'all know the story. Listen, they had a contest all day long. They stood out there around Baal's altar and cried. They cut themselves, jumped up on the altar, and begged Baal to answer by fire. But thank God, when the time of the evening sacrifice came, Elijah stood out there and repaired the altar of God and prayed 63 words, and God answered by fire. Listen, I'm glad God hears me when I pray. Thank God for that. Listen, he went up a little further, up on top of the mountain up there on Mount Carmel, and he began to pray that it might rain. And he prayed, says, or at least sent his servant out there 7 times to look and see if there was a cloud coming. And on that 7th time, that servant said, "I see a cloud likened unto a man's hand." He told Ahab, "You better get yourself ready and get headed towards Jezreel, because I hear the sound of rain coming." Listen, so God had done great work with Elijah and in Elijah's life. But in the midst of all that, while he was on top of Mount Carmel, he killed all them prophets of Baal. And when we pick up in chapter 19, Jezebel had sent him a little note that said, "If you're still here tomorrow, I'll make you as one of my prophets." In other words, I'm going to kill you. And so we pick up in verse 4. And listen, I want you to understand something. Elijah is no different than we are. And we're no different than Elijah. What do you mean? The Bible said in the book of James that when it talked about Elias over there, he said that he was a man subject to like passions as we are. He was just a man. Listen, God had called him, God had used him, God had wrought great work in the nation of Israel because of Elijah, but now we're going to see a time when the man gets down. I want to preach for just a little while on that thought where the Lord asked him twice, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" Can I say that first of all, when I see this man in chapter 19, I see a man that was cast down. I want you to look what it said. Here he is. He's went out himself into the wilderness a day's journey and came and sat down under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." What was one of the first things that Elijah done is he got by himself. Now listen, I believe you ought to get by yourself and pray. Amen. Listen, I believe that you ought to just get along sometimes, till away, and begin to pray and talk to the Lord. Listen, I can do a whole lot better sometimes when I'm just in my study and I pray. But I tell you, some of the best times I've ever had have been when me and my wife's been in there in the living room, and I say, "Won't we just pray? And she'll get down on her knees, and I'll get down on mine, and we'll just begin to pray. That's a good time right there. I'm going, hey, y'all ought to try that. If you husbands and wives ain't never prayed together, you ought to do that sometime. Boy, it's a sweet time in my house. I don't know about you, but it's good. But I want you to look, Elijah has got alone by himself. I have no doubt that Elijah failed alone. Imagine this. Now, I want you to think for a minute. Elijah's been on top of Mount Carmel. King Ahab's come out there at one point and said, it's you that has wrought trouble in the nation of Israel. And I can imagine that Elijah, friend, is feeling alone. And here he is, and he's just sat down under a juniper tree. Listen, as a matter of fact, he tells the Lord later on down in the scriptures two different times. He said, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Elijah thought he was the only one serving God. Here he is. The enemy has threatened to kill him. Jezebel has threatened to kill him. And he's sitting down under a juniper tree. Can I ask you something? Have you ever just got to the point where you just wanted to quit? I mean, Elijah's got to the place right here. He said, Lord, you just might as well kill me. I'm not no better than my fathers. He's talking about those men that were serving back out there in the wilderness. When God killed them all back out there, he said, I'm not any better than they are. Now, you've heard me say this 1,000 times. If Elijah really wanted to die, all he had to do was stay in town, and Jezebel would oblige him. Amen. So here he comes, and he sits down under the juniper tree, and he's really feeling sorry for himself. I want you to look at what he does. He sits down under the juniper tree, and he lays down, and he sleeps. You know, one of the best ways to get away from your problems is just go sleep. Amen. You ever seen somebody just want to get away from everything? Just go to sleep. Why do you think folk are taking pills and all other kinds of things to knock themselves out? They don't want to face life. And I believe that's where Elijah was at. He didn't want to face what was going on, and here he is. He's sleeping. Why do you think Jonah over there in Jonah chapter 1 crawled up in the belly of that ship and went to sleep? You ever think about that? Hey, listen, he couldn't hear the voice of God ringing in his head and in his heart if he's asleep. And so here Elijah is. He's alone out in the wilderness. He's cast down. He has become despondent, if you'd let me say that. He is depressed, oppressed, compressed, impressed. I don't know all kinds of press, but here he is. You ever got that way in life? Have you? It's okay to do this. If you don't want to admit it, that's fine. But I know you've been there, friend. Because I'm serving in the same flesh that you're in. Hey, listen, I know what it's like to be depressed and oppressed and compressed and impressed and all those things. I know what that's like. And here Elijah sits, and man, there's no, after he has fought battle after battle after battle, and now because one woman sends him a letter, he's sitting in the wilderness by himself. You ever feel like you get in the wilderness in serving God? You didn't ask to get there. You didn't want to get there. But you turn around one day and there you are. Elijah made this decision on his own. So here he is. He is sleeping. But as I look at this scripture right here, I thought about the greatness and the care of the Lord. I want you to look right here. Elijah prays an unwise prayer. He says, Lord, I just go ahead and kill me. I'm not even better than my fathers. And the Bible said in verse 5, as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. I thought about how great the Lord is and how much care he had for God's man. Do you realize he didn't even chide with Elijah? He didn't even try to correct Elijah. He didn't even deal with Elijah in this situation right here. He said he just sent his angel down there, and his angel made a little cake, or a great cake, I guess you might say, and cooked it up for him, and touched him and said, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink. I want you to see the care of the Lord, that the Lord knew what was going to happen. What do you mean? If you look at the end of verse 7, he told him, because the journey is too great for thee. The Lord knew what journey laid ahead. The Lord knows what journey sets in front of us. Listen, we may not understand. We may not know what's there, but God does. Listen, when Elijah got done eating the first time and drinking the first time, he laid back down. I don't know how long that angel let him rest. He went over there and pushed on him again. Said, Elijah, you got to get up. You got to drink. You got to eat. Listen, you've got to go a long way in the strength of this meat right here. You've got a big journey to go. We may not know what lies in tomorrow, but I'm glad that God does. Listen, he didn't know, Elijah didn't know what God wanted out of him, but God was just trying to get him ready and get him to the place where he could use him. And so he strengthens him and gets him ready. Is this making sense to y'all tonight? Y'all understand what's going on right here? Elijah's come to a place in his life that he is just as low as he can go. I mean, listen, my pastor used to say he was a zero with the rim knocked off. I mean, that's pretty low, friend. And look, here it is. God is still caring for him. I don't care how low you get, how depressed or impressed or any of those things. Listen, God still cares for you. And I want you to understand that tonight. He was getting him ready for what lied ahead. And the Bible said in verse 8 that he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights. That number 40 in the Bible is a number of testing. If you'd let me say that. Moses in Exodus chapter 34, as he was receiving the law, he fasted for 40 days and for 40 nights. As the children of Israel, Numbers chapter 13, spied out the land of the promised land. Listen, they were over there 40 days and 40 nights, and they failed the test, didn't they? Goliath stood out there in 1 Samuel chapter 17 for 40 days, and that defied the nation of Israel. Read your Bible. It was a testing for the nation of Israel. In the book of Jonah, what did Jonah stand out there? Was it in chapter 3 when Jonah stood out there and said, "And yet in 40 days God shall destroy Nineveh." Time of testing to see if they were going to get right. Matthew chapter 4, the Lord Jesus Christ in that fasted 40 days and 40 nights and then was tempted of the devil. I'm going to tell you sometimes the Lord knows, or let me say this all the time, the Lord knows the journey and he knows the test that lies ahead of us. I fasted one time from Monday evening till sometime, I guess it was, they took my colon out on Wednesday, didn't they, if I ain't mistaken. And so by Thursday, so from Monday evening till Thursday, and that was a long time to fast. Especially when you're not doing it for the glory of God. I wasn't doing it for His glory. I was doing it because the doctors made me do it. Amen. I'll be honest with you. I won't even talk about what I've done for the glory of God. I want Him to get the glory. But listen, the doctor made me fast from Monday evening till Thursday till I come out of surgery and could eat. Listen, that was long enough. But can you imagine 40 days and 40 nights of not eating anything? I can imagine his day in and day out, he began to get weaker, but yet God kept strengthening him. Imagine, here you've got a man that is alone. He is by himself. And he feels like everybody is against him. Right? Ever been there? I'm talking about in your spiritual life where you feel alone. God's done dried the brook up. God's done took you away from the widow woman in Zarephath. You've seen him answer by fire on the mountain. You've seen him make it rain when you ask God to make it rain. But now, how did I get healed? I've seen God things do for me simply because I ask him to. You ever pray and just talk to the Lord and said, Lord, I just need to see you move on some things. I just need you to move right here. I need you to make a way because there is no way. And I just need you to help right here. And God moves. I've seen that. I've experienced that. I know what that's like to have God move. I know. If you don't know, you ought to try him sometime. Hey, it's exciting to watch God move. I remember one time I got down in my study. I'll never forget this. And I was struggling with some things. And I just said, God, I need some help right here on this situation. Would you send me some? And within the next 2 to 3 days, he sent me the help that I needed. You say, it's not that big of a deal. It's a big deal to me, man. Amen. When you're down on your knees asking God what to do about something and you need direction and listen, and then you get it. And I mean without a shadow of a doubt, you get what God wanted you to have. Hey, it'll do something to you, friend. But here Elijah is. He's seen God move in miraculous ways. And he's just sitting under a juniper tree. And God in his care, because Elijah was cast down, come by and patted him on the side and said, here, I want you to eat this. It's going to help you. And then he laid back down and said, he had to poke him on the side again and said, I want you to get up, meet again and drink you something because it's going to help you because I know what's in front of you, Elijah. There was a test sitting in front of him. I preached on this over at the nursing home last Sunday where he talked about the trial of your faith being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found under the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. There are times that our faith is going to get tried. I believe that the Lord is trying Elijah. Elijah has put him in a place, and God's just going to use that place to try Elijah. But I want you to look what happens to Elijah. He ends up in a cave. He was sitting under a juniper tree, and now he's in a cave. Think about this. Now, he's went to Mount Horeb, according to verse 8, which is the Mount of God. Hey, listen, that's where God met with Moses in the burning bush over there, was on Mount Horeb. And the Bible said that he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. Why is it God's men and women, it seems, end up in a cave sometimes? What do you mean? When David was on the run, where'd he end up at? Ended up in a cave, didn't he? Think about a cave for just a second. A cave is, you can look at it two or three ways, I guess, but a cave is a place that in my mind would be cold and would be dark and would be damp and would be secluded, be by itself. Here he is again. But it would be a good hiding place, wouldn't it? Elijah, I think, comes to this cave and he gets by himself again. But I want you to look what God said in verse 9. What doest thou here, Elijah? Elijah, what are you doing here? Why are you here? Why did you choose this place to stop? Why the juniper tree? He was feeling alone. He was feeling deserted, no doubt. And why he felt that way, I cannot tell you. But why do we feel the way that we feel, even though we've seen God move? They've been more than once. I've got under the glory spout up here. I know it was God. I have no doubt that it was Him. But yet then we leave here and in the next couple of days my lips on the ground. I don't understand that. I don't understand how one day I can live so close to God and the next day I'm so far from Him. I don't understand that. But right here, Elijah, probably one of the greatest prophets that there ever was. I got to studying on this thing late this afternoon and thinking about Elijah. You know, there was only two men that met with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. One was Moses and the other was Elijah. That does say something about Elijah, by the way. What did they say? What power did they say that John the Baptist was going to come in? Come in the power of Elijah, didn't he? Elijah had some power with God, but here is a man that had power with God, but yet he's hiding in a cave. And God comes by and says, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? Why are you in the shape that you're in tonight? And listen, I can't talk to you and make you feel better. I mean, I tell my Sunday school classes, we're studying the book of Job. One of the things that we want to do for people is sometimes we want to make them feel better. There wasn't nothing that you could say to Job that was going to make him feel better. I mean, the Bible said that they saw that his grief was great, and I guess since they couldn't help him, they just thought they might rebuke him while they had him over there. Sometimes people don't need to feel better. They just need to know that you're there, and that you're willing to help them. But this ain't the place that Elijah's in. Elijah's got a place in his mind. He's got in a place mentally. He's got in a place spiritually. And no doubt physically, friend, that he just felt away from God. He felt like that nobody was ever there. So God comes by. And I want you to look right here. I've got this pinned out in the margin of my Bible that the Lord spoke first and then Elijah answered. He said right here, he said, what doest thou here? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel. I have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. So we see why Elijah is sitting in the cave. I believe he's hiding. I do. You can believe what you want to. He said, they seek my life to take it away. God said, go out there and stand on the mountain out there, Elijah. So he's out there, and we find that somewhere along this way he gets in the cave again, and we find that there's a strong wind passed by. We find there's an earthquake. We find there's a fire, and Elijah don't move during all that right there. But when God begins to speak, Elijah begins to move again. And the Bible said, and after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. I'm glad He still speaks to us, ain't you? And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in the cave. Makes me think it's cold. He took his mantle and wrapped it up around his face. Makes me think he's in a place that's cold. I'm going to tell you what, if you ever want to get cold, get out there and get in a cave. I'm not talking about physically, I'm talking about spiritually. If you ever want to get cold on God, go out there and get in a cave. So, preacher, I can't help how I feel. I understand that. But I'm going to tell you, there's somebody that wants to help you. And he'll say, what dost thou here, Elijah? And so he wrapped up his mantle and stood at the inner end of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what dost thou here, Elijah? Elijah, what are you doing here? He said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. I thought about David at one point. I believe it was that he talked about there in the book of Psalms, he said, oh, that I might have the wings of a dove, and then I'd fly away out into the wilderness, and I'd be at peace if I could just get away. And I think that's what Elijah wanted to do. He said, they still seek my life, and they want to take it away. He's been jealous for the Lord God. Children of Israel have forsaken God. They weren't serving God. The altars that God had, they had thrown them down. They were killing the prophets. He said, I'm the only one left. And God gave him some direction right here to go. Again, God didn't argue with Elijah. He asked him one simple question. He said, what are you doing here? That's all God asked him. Elijah, what are you doing here? God ever done you that way? Something very simple. Not that God was beating you over the head with it. He just came to Elijah. He said, Elijah, what are you doing here? Why are you in this place? Why are you in this shape? Why have you let the enemy and that beat you into the place that you're in right now? Here's a man that's laid under a juniper tree. Here's a man that's hid and that in a cave. All because the enemy was against him. But yet he had seen everything that God could accomplish and do.
That's right.
And he said that Elias was a man of like passions as we are. So he gives him some direction right here and gives him a call and tells him what to go do. He says, go back on your way to the wilderness to Damascus. He said, you anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, Nimshi to anoint to be king over Israel, and Elijah the son of Shaphat of Abel Mahola shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. Gave him three things to do. Anoint two kings and anoint a prophet. Get you two kings and a prophet and a preacher. And he said, that's what I want you to do. But he comes down here and that in verse 18 and here's the information that Elijah needed. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal and every mouth which has not kissed him. Elijah's hiding in a cave and going, there's nothing. They've tore down your altars. God, they forsook your covenant. They're seeking my life and ain't nobody else serving you, God, except me. So I'm hiding in a cave. How much serving God do you think you can do hiding in a cave? How much serving God do you think he was doing laying up under a juniper tree? You can't change how you feel sometimes. But I tell you, if we'll look at some things, if we'll look at some things in our life and remember what God has done for us, listen, that's what helps me. That's why I keep going. When I get in these positions under a juniper tree or want to hide in a cave, I try to remember what God's done for me. I've had some bad days in the past 2 years, probably 2.5 years. Some bad days. Not that I've wanted them, not that I've said that I want to go hide in a cave or sit under a juniper tree. I've just learned with pastoring, there are bad days mentally. That just happens. That's part of the job. I wish somebody would have warned me about that before I started pastoring. I probably wouldn't have started pastoring. No, I wouldn't have believed them, and then I'd have found out they were right. But you know why I keep going? Because I have had good days. And I have seen God move and do things that just, again, I go back just because I asked him to, and he answered my prayer. And he's come by and stirred me. You ever had God stir you? I mean stir you. Where his hand, just like over there with that angel's hand, just reaches down there and pushes on Elijah and says, you got to get up. We got to go. God may be asking you, what you doing here? Why are you here? Why do you feel alone? You ain't alone. Boy, and here you got to be careful. I don't want to play psychiatrist or psychologist or any of those things, but I'm going to be honest with you, and especially at this time of the year. This time of year is hard on people sometimes. And it took me a long time to understand that. As I sat down to get ready, and these young people has heard me say it over there in that Sunday school class, and when I was their age, one of the things that I used to hate to hear was, you won't understand until you get to where I'm at. In other words, until you experience some things, you just won't understand.
There's a lot of truth in that statement. As much as when I was in my early 20s, thought that I knew a lot and had experienced a lot. And some of y'all have experienced far more than I have and went through far more than I'll ever go through. But I do know this, that the longer we live, sometimes the harder times we do see. And the harder days we do see. But I do know this too, that the better days we also see and good days we also see. God says, Elijah, what are you doing here? How'd you get here, Elijah? And why are you even here? Sometimes I understand we can't help how we got there. But Elijah put himself in this place right here. And God said, look, Elijah, I know that you're jealous for me. And I know that you're concerned about them tearing down my altars and forsaking my covenant and that Israel has forsook me. But he said, look, I've got 7,000 men that have not even bowed to Baal. And they've not kissed him. And by the way, I've got a man that I'm going to make a preacher out of over here. And what Elijah didn't know at that time was he was going to do twice as many works as Elijah did. Ain't that what Elisha asked for? He said, just give me a double portion. Ain't that something? Just give me a double portion. Listen, everything, what was it? Was it Elijah that, and I may be getting my numbers off, was it Elijah that performed 7 miracles and Elisha performed 14? Was it Elijah that raised one man from the dead and Elisha raised 2? You say, where did Elisha raise 2 at? One was that Shunammite woman's son. And then that second one was he was already dead and in the grave. And they throwed that man that was dead in the grave with Elisha. And as soon as his bones hit Elisha's bones, that man stood up. Amen. You're talking about a man that had the power of God when he was even dead could raise folk from the dead. Something to think about, ain't it? You may feel like Elijah tonight. What doest thou here, Elijah? What are you doing here? I don't know how you got to the place that you're in, but I do know this tonight. God can help you if you'll just come to Him. I know He can help you. I just give you my heart tonight and what God will give me. Let's bow our heads tonight if we would. Come get us a verse of invitation, men. Come get us a verse. I don't know where you're at tonight, but I do know God can help you. I know that. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt God can help you if you'll let Him tonight. If you'll let Him. Maybe God's asking you the question, what are you doing here? What are you doing in the shape that you're in tonight? All I want to do is help you if you come to me. If you come to me. You know what? When God spoke, Elijah wrapped that mantle up on his face and went to see what God wanted. Maybe that's what you need to do tonight. Maybe you need to come gather up around this altar. Say, Lord, I just need some help. I just need some help. You know what I done the other morning? I have asked God for help so much that I laid in the bed the other morning, early in the morning, and I just got ashamed of myself as much help as I asked of God. And I finally just said, I ain't doing this today. I'm just going to thank Him. And I laid in the bed, and I just thanked God. I laid up there, and I thought of Him, of all my blessings and everything that He had done and the calling and the church. And I just sat up there and I thanked Him. Sometimes, you know, while we get in the shape that we're in, we forget what God has done for us all the times. He saved us. He got us fit for heaven and ready to go. But all the times that God has come by and helped us and seen us through, and we forget that. And we think that we're just by ourselves and God ain't watching us and God don't care for us. I'm telling you, He does. I'm telling you, He does. Listen, I'm going to pray and we're going to sing. If you need to come, I want you to come. Heavenly Father, I pray You'd help me in this invitation. Lord, I preached what was on my heart tonight, what I believe You gave me. And Lord, there may be some folk here tonight that's, Lord, they're having some bad days, but they sure do need Your help. And they don't know how to get out of it, but I guarantee You know how. And Lord, I pray that You'll help them tonight, that You'll strengthen them and encourage them. And You may just be asking them that simple question, what are You doing here? And Lord, what they're doing here tonight is to come get some help from You. And Lord, I pray that You'd strengthen Your people tonight. I want to tell You that we love You. Thank You so much for loving us. And Lord, if there's just some folk need some help, I pray they'll move tonight. Help now during this invitation. For these things in Jesus' name.